Okay, so have you ever just gotten that feeling
Yeah.
when you're online that things aren't quite on the level? Like you're being watched and analyzed and maybe even nudged in certain directions without really knowing the full story?
Yeah, like almost like a puppet.
It's a sense that I know the folks over at the Glianda Alliance talk about.
Right.
And Richard Witt explores in Reweaving the Web this feeling of constant surveillance and a creeping loss of control over our digital lives.
Yeah, and that feeling isn't just in your head.
Right.
I mean, what Richard Witt, drawing on Shoshana Zuboff's work, terms surveillance capitalism,
Right.
is the underlying engine for so much of the web as we know it.
Yeah.
It's this relentless extraction of our data, increasingly processed by sophisticated AI,
Yeah.
that creates a self-perpetuating cycle.
Oh,
As the
wow.
Glianda Alliance presentation lays out,
Yeah.
more data fuels more refined analysis,
Right.
which then allows for more effective ways to influence us,
Yeah.
and on it goes.
Okay, so let's unpack this because today we're diving deep into a fascinating initiative that's looking to really shake up this dynamic.
Right.
We're going to explore a vision for a fundamentally different kind of web, one designed with people at its center and built on a foundation of real trust
Yeah, it's a great idea.
instead of all this other stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the key to this vision is the concept of net fiduciaries
Yes.
and the work being done by the Glianda Alliance, something Richard Witt presented at the Trust Over IP Ecosystem and Governance Working Group meeting just last March.
Exactly. So the mission for this deep dive is pretty straightforward. We want to understand exactly what these net fiduciaries are,
Right.
how the Glianda Alliance plans to actually make this idea a reality, and ultimately why this could mean a really significant shift in how individual users like you experience the internet.
So let's start with the basics.
Yeah.
What is this GLEA that keeps popping up in the discussion around the Glianda Alliance?
Good question. So the name GLEA, as we learned from the Glianda Alliance materials and Richard's presentation, has a couple of really interesting layers to it.
Okay.
First off, it's the ancient Greek word for glue, which immediately makes you think of trust as that essential social binder that holds communities together.
So it's like the glue that binds society.
Right. Yeah, it's
That's actually
interesting
fascinating.
to think about trust not just as something between individuals,
Right.
but as the very thing that needs to hold our online interactions together.
Yeah.
The current lack of trust online is, in many ways, a sign that this glue has weakened or even dissolved in places.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And there's another dimension to it.
Okay.
GLEA also subtly hints at the mantra, "With great power comes great responsibility."
Oh, yeah.
It's a quiet reminder that those who wield significant power online often aren't held truly accountable,
Right.
and we need to find ways to reestablish that balance.
That's crucial to consider, that
Yeah.
sheer imbalance of power between these massive platforms and individual users
Yeah.
is a fundamental driver of many of the issues we're seeing play out online today.
Definitely. And then finally, the analogy that really clicked for me was the reference to glial cells in the human brain.
Okay, interesting.
For years, scientists thought these cells were just inert filler.
Like useless.
Yeah, just the glue holding the neurons together.
Okay.
But we now know they play a vital role in supporting and enhancing neural function.
So that's compelling
Right.
to think about that analogy online.
Yeah.
We have these incredible neural networks. Think of all the algorithms and connections that make the internet work.
Yeah.
But perhaps we're missing enough of these
Like the support system.
GAL networks, these supportive, trustworthy entities
Yes.
that are really looking out for the average user, helping them navigate this complex digital landscape.
Precisely. And Glianet then is envisioned as this layered fabric, as Richard describes it. It's not just one single solution, but a comprehensive approach that weaves trust back into the web through different but interconnected means governance frameworks, market-based incentives, the use of privacy-preserving technologies like edge computing, and even supportive public policy all working together.
So it's not about waiting for one single technological breakthrough
Right.
or relying solely on new regulations.
Yeah.
It's this holistic, multifaceted strategy
Right.
that aims to cultivate a more trustworthy digital environment from the ground up.
Okay, so within this broader GLEA framework, what's the central pillar.
Right.
What exactly is this net fiduciary concept all about?
The core idea, as Richard explains, is to draw inspiration from the well-established concept of common law fiduciaries.
Okay.
Professions like doctors, lawyers, and financial advisors.
Right.
These are relationships built on a deep level of trust.
Yeah.
And the clear understanding that one party has a legal and ethical duty to act in the absolute best interests of the other.
Right. Like when you go to see a doctor, you're sharing incredibly sensitive personal information, and you trust that they're going to use their expertise to help you get better, not to exploit that information in any way.
Exactly. And the application here is in situations where there's a significant power imbalance between the parties involved.
Right.
Which is undeniably the reality of our online interactions today.
Yes, very true.
And increasingly, as we interact with more and more sophisticated AI systems.
And here's a really crucial point that Richard emphasizes. This net fiduciary approach is proposed as a voluntary one.
Yes.
That seems like a very deliberate choice, doesn't it?
Absolutely. This is a key distinction from earlier arguments by legal scholars like Jonathan Zittrain and Jack Balkin, who suggested imposing fiduciary duties directly on the existing large platform companies.
Huh?
Even before her prominent role at the FTC, Lena Khan raised significant legal and practical concerns about the feasibility of forcing a duty of loyalty that could potentially conflict with a corporation's fundamental obligations to its shareholders.
It touches on that idea of forced loyalty that Tamar Frankel talks about, right?
Right, exactly.
The concern that if such a duty is mandated by law, it could easily become just another compliance exercise.
Right.
And the powerful entities would likely find ways to adhere to the letter of the law while still undermining its spirit.
Precisely.
So, you know, loopholes and just ways around it.
The Glyndead approach is predicated on the idea of finding entities that willingly embrace these obligations.
Yeah.
Not just because it's the ethically responsible thing to do, but also because it can represent a sustainable and attractive business model.
Mm.
In a marketplace where users increasingly value and seek out trust.
Yeah.
It's about creating a demand for these trusted intermediaries.
So let's break down these fundamental elements of a fiduciary duty.
Okay.
And think about how they could actually work in the online world.
Okay.
First, there's the duty of care. What might that look like in the context of the web?
The duty of care in this context would primarily involve diligently safeguarding personal data.
Right.
Imagine a net fiduciary taking responsibility for protecting your information. Perhaps even by ensuring it remains locally on your own devices as much as possible. Rather than being aggregated in massive centralized data centers that become prime targets for breaches.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Then there's fidelity, which Richard describes as the thin duty of loyalty, essentially actively avoiding conflicts of interest. How could that manifest online?
Think about how social media algorithms currently curate your newsfeed.
Right.
Their primary goal is often to maximize your engagement.
Yeah.
Which can sometimes mean prioritizing sensational or even divisive content to keep you scrolling so they can serve you more ads.
Right. And to get you riled up and keep you on the platform longer.
A net fiduciary with a duty of fidelity, however, would prioritize your interest in what information you see.
Okay.
If you're trying to learn a new skill, for example. Your news feed, managed by your fiduciary, might be filled with relevant tutorials and articles, even if that means you spend less overall time on the platform.
That sounds like a much healthier online experience.
Yep.
And then finally, the highest level of loyalty, the duty to promote best interests, to truly act as an advocate for the user.
Right.
That seems like the most significant departure from the current web.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
This gets to the core of what we truly need and want from our online interaction.
Right.
Richard mentions Doc Searle's powerful concept of intent.
Okay.
Imagine having an AI agent acting as your net fiduciary that can proactively compare your personal terms of service with the often lengthy and complex terms of websites you visit.
Oh, wow.
It could potentially negotiate on your behalf, or at the very least alert you to discrepancies or essentially exploitative clauses that you might otherwise never even notice.
Right.
It's about truly empowering you to interact with the web on your own terms.
Yeah.
Something that's incredibly challenging in today's environment.
It really is. So this idea of having someone or something genuinely acting in your corner online naturally leads us to this concept of authentic personal AI agents. That sounds quite different from the AI assistants we're already starting to interact with.
It's a critical distinction to make.
Yeah.
Richard references Bruce Schneier's insightful idea of the double agent.
Okay.
using the example of a co-pilot system, while it might feel like you have an AI assistant working alongside you,
right,
ultimately, it's still serving the interests of the platform that created it,
yeah,
often by gathering even more data about you in the process.
So an authentic personal AI agent, in contrast, would be designed from the ground up to truly work for you.
Yeah.
How would that actually function in practice?
The vision is that these agents, perhaps powered by smaller, more privacy-preserving language models, trained on your own personal data.
Okay.
Your preferences, your communication history, your relationships,
right,
would act as your dedicated digital representatives.
So almost like a digital twin.
In a way, yeah.
Wow.
They could then seamlessly interact with other AI systems, those belonging to corporations or institutions.
Okay.
But they would do so under these well-defined fiduciary principles.
Right. All
prioritizing your best interest in those interactions.
Okay, so we have this compelling vision of net fiduciaries empowered by these authentic personal AI agents.
Right.
How does the Glionet Alliance actually aim to make this a widespread reality?
The Glionet Alliance is the coalition of forward-thinking companies and organizations that Richard has been instrumental in bringing together.
Right.
He mentions around 20 initial members, comprised mostly of smaller, innovative startups,
okay,
along with a significant anchor member, like Consumer Reports.
Oh, wow.
These are all entities that share a fundamental commitment to ethical technology practices and the core idea of building a more trustworthy web for everyone.
So this isn't just a theoretical discussion anymore. There are actual companies and organizations actively trying to put these principles into practice.
Right.
And the overarching goal is to build this human-centered digital ecosystem firmly grounded in these fiduciary governance principles.
Exactly. The Alliance is intentionally taking a community of practice approach. This involves actively bringing together a diverse group of stakeholders,
mm-hmm,
not just companies, but also software developers,
right,
policymakers,
uh-huh,
and academic researchers to collectively define and build the practical standards, policies, and technological tools necessary for net fiduciaries to effectively operate.
So a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
And it sounds like they're quite structured in their approach. Richard mentioned the existence of 8 specific working groups within the Alliance,
yeah,
with the business models group being particularly critical for ensuring the long-term viability and sustainability of this vision.
Right.
You can't solely rely on altruism to drive such a fundamental shift, right?
Precisely. There needs to be a clear and compelling economic incentive for these net fiduciaries to emerge and thrive in the digital marketplace.
Right.
The Alliance is actively exploring innovative and ethical business models that directly align the success of these fiduciaries with the well-being and best interests of their users.
And they also have a clear roadmap for how they plan to achieve this. They've already gone through the initial foundational phases of defining their core mission and principles.
Right.
What are the next steps for the Glionet Alliance?
They are currently in phase 3 of their roadmap, which is heavily focused on building out this crucial community of practice.
Okay.
This involved the detailed work of developing the practical standards, the necessary operational policies, and the underlying technologies that net fiduciaries will rely on.
So like the nuts and bolts.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Phase 4 envisions the emergence of a thriving community of practitioners where these principles are widely adopted and implemented.
Okay.
This phase also includes discussions around potential enforcement mechanisms and even government backing for these principles.
Wow.
Richard mentioned some initial exploratory conversations with representatives in California and Colorado, which is certainly noteworthy.
It is. The idea of potential state-level support or even clearly defined enforcement mechanisms could add a significant layer of accountability and legitimacy that is often lacking in the current online environment.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, Richard also brought up a really interesting and perhaps slightly technical distinction.
Okay.
The difference between agenticity and agentiality.
Yeah.
What exactly does that mean, and why is it a key policy consideration for the Alliance?
This is a really critical policy area. Agenticity, in their definition, refers to the inherent capability of an AI system to perform increasingly complex tasks and interact with the world around it.
So basically how smart it is.
Yeah, exactly. Think about the rapid advancements we're seeing in the sophistication of large language models and other AI technology.
Like ChatGPT, yeah, yeah, and all the other large language models coming out.
Agentiality, on the other hand, is specifically about an entity's capacity and authorization to act on behalf of someone else, to truly represent their interests.
So just because an AI is incredibly capable and can perform a wide range of tasks doesn't automatically mean that it's actually working for you and prioritizing your needs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Richard used the somewhat nostalgic example of Clippy.
Oh, yeah.
The old Microsoft Office assistant.
Yeah.
It had relatively low agenticity. It wasn't particularly capable.
Right.
And it also had very low agentiality.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really acting in your best interest in any meaningful way.
Yeah, it was mostly just annoying.
The concern that the Glynet Alliance has is that current trends in AI development are heavily focused on rapidly increasing agenticity, making AI more and more capable.
Right.
But without a corresponding and equally strong focus on ensuring agentiality.
Okay.
These increasingly powerful tools could very well continue to primarily serve the interests of the platforms and corporations that create them.
Yeah.
Rather than the individual users who interact with them.
That makes a lot of sense. And it's interesting that the Glynet Alliance actually submitted a formal filing to the Trump White House on this very issue,
right,
advocating for a human agency agenda.
Right.
What were the main points of that submission?
Their submission really focused on two key and interconnected areas. The first was the crucial concept of AI interoperability. The fundamental idea that different AI systems should be able to communicate and seamlessly work with each other.
Okay, so like they can talk to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
This would allow your personal AI agent, for example, to interact effectively with various online services and platforms on your behalf.
Oh, wow.
They suggested that establishing open standards, bodies, perhaps with some level of government oversight,
right,
could be a viable way to achieve this necessary interoperability.
Okay.
The second key focus was, of course, on the core principles of agentiality and net fiduciary.
Right.
They propose exploring a potential statutory duty of care for entities that handle significant amounts of personal data.
Okay.
Essentially establishing a baseline do-no-harm standard.
Like the Hippocratic Oath, but for the web.
Right.
Yeah, interesting.
While simultaneously encouraging and supporting the voluntary adoption of the higher duties of loyalty and advocacy by net fiduciaries.
So it's a two-pronged approach. A potential regulatory floor to ensure a basic level of data protection.
Right.
Coupled with the development of a voluntary ecosystem of truly trustworthy entities that go above and beyond that basic standard.
Exactly.
Now, are there any real-world examples starting to emerge that give us a glimpse of this vision becoming a reality?
Richard mentioned a few interesting examples. One is Helpful Places.
Okay.
An Alphabet spinout based in Toronto, which is using publicly accessible signage and mobile applications to provide greater transparency about the various smart city technologies being deployed.
Oh, that's cool.
Their long-term intention is to build actual fiduciary duties on top of this initial transparency.
Okay.
Ensuring that these technologies are not just informative, but are also actively working in the best interests of the city's residents.
So kind of almost like a real-world example,
right,
of bringing these fiduciary principles,
yeah,
to life in a context that extends beyond just our online interactions.
Another key example that was discussed is Consumer Reports' active development of AI agents as a specific Glynet project. Initially, these agents are envisioned to focus on practical areas like customer service,
right,
helping users effectively resolve issues with various companies, and managing subscriptions on their behalf.
Okay.
This clearly demonstrates the immediate and practical utility of having an AI that is explicitly designed and obligated to be on your side.
During the working group meeting, someone named Eric raised a really important question about the inherent challenge of demonstrating this differentness,
right,
and effectively building trust with the broader public. How did Richard respond to that concern?
Richard readily acknowledged that this is indeed a significant hurdle that needs to be addressed.
Right.
He used a compelling analogy to try and make the concept more relatable.
Okay.
Referring to the idea of a doctor for your time on the web.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Just as you hopefully develop a level of trust in your medical doctor to act in your best health interest.
Yeah.
The goal is to cultivate that same level of confidence and reliance with net fiduciaries in the digital realm. He emphasized that fundamental transparency in their operations and a clear commitment to accountability will be absolutely crucial for achieving this necessary level of public trust.
And this directly connects with the ongoing discussions around explainability in AI, doesn't it?
It does.
If your net fiduciary and personal AI agent are making decisions and taking actions on your behalf, you'd naturally want to have a clear understanding of why they're making those particular choices.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These trusted intermediaries have the potential to provide a much-needed layer of transparency into the often opaque workings of today's algorithms. Richard also briefly touched on the concept of data sovereignty and the idea of data staying local, referencing MIT's innovative Opal project as an example. In this model, instead of your personal data being constantly uploaded to and analyzed in remote data centers, the algorithms themselves come to your data, significantly reducing the risks associated with massive honeypots of sensitive personal information.
That's a really reassuring prospect for anyone concerned about data privacy and security.
Yes.
And the idea of tiered fiduciary duties also came up in the discussion. Mm-hmm. What's the thinking behind that concept?
The idea is that there could potentially be different levels of service offered by net fiduciaries.
Okay.
And these different tiers might come with varying levels of fiduciary responsibility and consequently different associated costs.
Makes sense.
For instance, you might have a basic level of data care provided for free, while a higher tier that includes more proactive advocacy and a stronger duty of loyalty might be offered as a premium subscription service.
Right.
Somewhat analogous to how you might choose different levels of service from a traditional financial advisor.
That makes practical sense, allowing for different user needs and budget considerations.
Yeah.
And the initial concept of being able to offer a service for determining AI loyalty in the future sounds particularly groundbreaking.
That was indeed an intriguing idea that was floated as a potential future offering, perhaps by established and trusted organizations like Consumer Reports.
Yeah.
Imagine being able to assess with a degree of confidence just how aligned a particular AI system is with your own interests and values before you choose to interact with it.
That really would be a significant game changer in the landscape of online trust and digital interactions.
Right.
Finally, Richard mentioned the involvement of independent developers through open source projects like Kwai, a volunteer-driven large language model initiative.
Right.
How does that fit into the broader GlianNet vision?
For Kwai Project, with its impressive community of over 1,000 volunteer developers, is explicitly aiming to build in fiduciary duties not just to the end users who might interact with the LLM, but also directly to the developers contributing to the project and even to the AI agents themselves.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
This really underscores the importance of embedding these principles of trust and ethical responsibility right at the very foundational layers of the underlying technology.
Right at the ground level.
So to summarize this deep dive, it sounds like the GlianNet Alliance is proposing a truly fundamental shift in how we envision and interact with the web.
Yeah.
The core idea revolves around the introduction of these net fiduciaries, entities that voluntarily commit to legally and ethically significant duties of care and loyalty towards their users.
And crucially, these net fiduciaries would be empowered by a new generation of authentic, personal AI agents that are designed from the outset to genuinely work on your behalf.
Right.
Offering a stark contrast to the prevailing model where AI often primarily serves the interests of the platforms and corporations that deploy them.
And the potential benefits for us as individual listeners and everyday users of the internet are really significant.
Yeah.
The promise of greater control over our increasingly valuable personal data.
Right.
Enhanced transparency in our online interactions. Mm. And a long-awaited move away from the pervasive and often disempowering surveillance-driven model that currently underpins so much of our digital lives.
This all leads to a really important question for you to ponder.
Okay.
Imagine a future where your digital interactions are consistently and reliably guided by entities that are not only highly capable, but are also legally and ethically bound to act in your absolute best interests.
Right.
What specific aspects of your online life do you envision would change most profoundly as a result of this shift? And what entirely new possibilities might that unlock for you in the digital realm?
It's a truly fascinating prospect to consider if you're interested in delving deeper into this important initiative. We strongly encourage you to look up the GlianNet Alliance online and also to explore Richard Witt's insightful book, Reweaving the Web.
That's a great resource.
It really lays out a thought-provoking and potentially transformative vision for a more human-centered and trustworthy digital future.
There's undoubtedly a significant amount of work ahead to bring this vision fully to fruition.
Yeah.
But the GlianNet Alliance and the core concept of net fiduciaries represent a genuinely hopeful and proactive step towards building a digital world that is truly worthy of our trust.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate your insights.
Glad to be here.
On this really important topic.
Yeah, it's definitely a conversation that needs to be had.
So thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
Sounds good.
Take care.